Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode of the RSL Show on the KSL Sports Network. This is your host, Andy Munoz, coming to you from my car. So if there's some background noise, that's exactly what it is. I'm in a vehicle. By the way, I bought a new car. I bought a Jeep from Ken Garf. Those guys were incredible. This is not a paid ad. However, they work with KSL employees and all that. So thanks, KSL. Great car. Love it. Already took it off-roading, kind of. Let's see. Aside from that, today's episode is going to include an interview with Pablo Mastroeni. Tom Hackett and I went out there. We spoke to him. Pablo opens up about the draw at home. They talk a little bit about the tactics, and also they preview the upcoming match as well, too. Some cool observations from training. Danny Masofsky is now training with Real Salt Lake. Maybe that's going to open up the gates here to minutes soon. And then also overheard that either, I can't remember if it was Brian Ojeda or Brian Oviedo, who actually arrived yesterday at midnight and is going through medical. We'll leave that up to mystery. You guys can, 50-50, you guys can decide who that might be. Before we start the episode, we want to shout out Brian Dunseth and Will Rader. As you guys have seen, they are hosting what's called the Dunny Experience. Kids from 8 to 18 can go out to the Zions Bank Real Academy for $100, get a four-hour session split over 2 days, so it's 2 hours on the 22nd, which is already done and over with, and then 2 hours on August 29th. They get to train with a pro and get to train with licensed coaches. And then not to mention, there's appearances from former and current players, most notably Justin Glad. They gave us 5 passes to gift out. I'm happy to say that we were able to gift all of the 5 passes out to the youth here in Salt Lake City. So, again, thanks, Brian, and thanks, Will Rader, for that. All right, let's go ahead and get the show started. Thanks for the continued support. We work hard to bring you the content, so here you go.
Pablo, you've had a few days now to kind of go over the film, I imagine, look back on the game. We're going to come to Friday's session as well, so Friday will probably be more of a lead up to FC Dallas, although I may have some questions for you today. But upon reflection, what comments do you have regarding the performance?
No, I think I think we're at the time of the season where there's really no home field advantage. I think the home teams feel a lot of pressure of trying to get the 3 points, and visiting teams are coming in and playing as if they're at home. And so I think what you're seeing at this point of the season is really two teams competing. I think for us, I think we achieved what we wanted, was getting behind their back line, knowing that they were going to push up. And I think we had 2 or 3 really good chances on goal that didn't go in. And I think, goals change games. And I think we got on the front foot. But towards the end, I think we kind of fell back a little bit, and that's something that we addressed as a group today. And being able to be compact defensively but not cede so much territory. And then at the end of the game, I think the game was decided by one play where we were actually in a great defensive shape, and it was just a missed mark. So games at this point in the season go either way. The most important thing is that we continue to improve, continue to fine-tune that mindset that is needed when you have the lead and you're trying to see the game out.
I thought you made an interesting comment post-game where you talked about playing 5 in the back, the reasons behind doing that. You were playing quite deep. I was thinking the other day, when players on the pitch see you make a substitution, bringing off an attacking player for a centre-back and going 5 across the back, do you think that has any role in them then maybe becoming too comfortable, getting deeper and deeper as the minutes go by and the game gets longer?
100%.
Not that I'm not trying to say you're to blame for
the result. No.
But I do wonder.
Absolutely. 100%. That is a real thing. And I think the part that we'll focus on is we don't want it 5 flat in the back. Sometimes they're going to, again, if they send both their outside backs forward, they're going to flatten us out. But how do we take that disadvantage momentarily to gain an advantage going the other way when we win it? And I think that's really the issue. Because last year we played 3 in the back, and it ended up – we scored a bunch of goals, but we ended up conceding quite a bit. The last couple of games when we've played it, it's been 5, not because anything's changed, but because of the momentum and the scoreline, you're holding the lead. So naturally, you want to defend what you already have. And so we talked about it this morning with the group about exactly what you just said, how the decision to bring on a center back naturally, from a psychological perspective, makes a team drop in deeper because you're taking an attacking player and you're putting him on the back line. And then what does that do to the opposing team as well? It's they're saying, okay, here's our chance. And so two things have to happen. Either one, you got to be stout defensively and not give anything up. And more importantly, can you find your moments in transition? Or it's not going to work. So we got two options. Either we don't go back into that, or we go back into that and do a better job, or we stay in a four.
It's interesting. It's kind of like a silent message, I guess. But the other thing worth noting, I don't know if all fans are all that educated necessarily, but a five in the back can turn into a three in the back pretty quickly. So to say, 100%. Talk about all the 5-5-5, when right. You get the ball, it can go to three pretty quick and you have a lot of numbers.
100%. And there's also moments that I could show you when we were in a four that we were playing with six in the back.
Right.
So it's and that's what I'm saying is, but it does have a psychological impact when you see that, and that is real. And so if you know that, how do you as a group now flip the switch saying, okay, they're going to be throwing balls into the box, and this is why we have another center back. We're not throwing a center back in here because we want to stay back here. How do we go from this deep position and now move into a mid block, and more importantly, win the ball and break? And then the decisions that we've made, and this is another part of that, is once you do break, it's not every chance is a goal-scoring opportunity. Now we're breaking just to move the team up the field and build our own perimeter in our attacking third and make them chase the ball around a little bit. So it doesn't have to be defensive, although in the last game it was.
Yeah, interesting. So this is a fascinating game, and we'll talk more about it Friday, but I do want to, I guess, ask, you go on to FC Dallas, road game in Texas this time of year, hot and muggy. It's a pretty important game, though, so you don't have... I don't know, do you have the luxury of, like, not playing Jasper because he's played so many games and you're concerned about his rookie year, but he could probably do with a game off, but this probably isn't the game, even though maybe it should be. I mean, where do you sit with all that? This is such a pivotal game, but it's in such a difficult part of the world to play the game in.
Yeah, I think the next two games are against teams that are floating right around where we are in the table. And I don't think this is a time where you can, you know, you play the first game full go, you see how everyone recovers, and you go full again on Wednesday. And then you decide what happens for Sunday, given the condition of everyone else. But I don't think this is a game where you start thinking about tomorrow. It's this game. This is the most important game that we have. So we're going to go for it. We have no other choice.
Interesting. Danny Masofsky, first training session, I think, for him since coming. I would like to ask you about that. And then I reckon Bobby Woods just around the corner, a couple days out from joining the main group. So two welcome additions, I imagine. What did you see from Danny today?
Yeah, I think he had some really good movements. You know, I think his timing of his runs is really good, and he's always threatening the back line, which is something that, you know, I think we've really lacked since Bobby and Dami even have left the group, and I think Serge has done a really good job of that recently. But I think his movement off the ball is really good, and he's got a nose for goal. And I think today he had one in the small-sided game, which is great to see. But I think he still needs that game fitness and that game sharpness. So whilst it's great to have him, you know, I think the next few days will be really important for his adaptation to the pace of the game.
Yeah, okay, so fans are, you know, itching to just see Dami back, to have Bobby back, to see what Danny Masofsky can bring, and then the other two Bryans that last name seem to be exactly the same, so I'm not even going to try and pretend to pronounce them. But they want to see him play, right? But you're coming up to playoffs, first of all. I think there's 8 league games left, 9 with the League's Cup. So you're running out of time to get the minutes in the regular season. Regular season games are starting to become more and more impactful on the end result. They're not going to start like that. When Dami comes back, he's going to come off the bench. Eventually, he will start. I mean, how long do you think you're looking at? Is it...
It's an impossible question. I think some guys are naturally fitter than others. Like in Danny's case, you know, I don't know. This is one of his first major muscle injuries. Okay. So, and he's been out for about 6 weeks. I mean, it usually takes quite some time to get up to game speed. Now, can he go on the field and do his best for 15 minutes? Absolutely. But I think, to your point, this is not really a time to be gaining fitness in games. There's just too much on the line to be doing that. Although we're going to have to do that with all these guys. And so we've started the conversation with our strength and conditioning coach. Is there extra sessions? Is there ways to manipulate real game scenarios? And at the end of the day, there's not, because when you release the amount of adrenaline and hormones that you do in a game, that can't be mimicked. And that is a part of your fitness as well, because that has a knockdown effect on something else in the body. And so, unfortunately, we're just going to have to see how they come in and provide the most competitive environment in training, so that they can hopefully adapt sooner than later.
Last question, and I think you're going to love it. I actually think you're going to hate it, but I'm going to ask you. Hindsight's 2020. You just underwent your first kind of transfer window with the front office. And we're talking about kind of when we're bringing these players in and late in the season. If you could do it all over again, I think is the lesson that you've learned, and I'm speaking for you, so please tell me I'm wrong. You would like to sign them earlier in the window as opposed to 2 days to go or whenever it was?
Yeah, no, I think that's the big takeaway from this window. And I think everyone in the club is in agreement on that. And it's always, new ownership. There's a lot of moving pieces, right? And getting that all aligned. So it wasn't from a lack of understanding. There was just a lot of different mechanisms in place delayed the signing of the players. And so as a collective, as a club, I think we're well aware that signing the players at the beginning of the window is necessary, and hopefully having them already lined up before the window even opens. So you sign them on day one and they're here within a week and a half, and that way they'd already have probably 3 or 4 games under their belt.
Kind of like what
LAFC did.
LAFC, but Cucho Hernandez for yep. Columbus as well.
Yep.
I'll try to find $10 million for you.
Love that.
I'd love that.
Love that.
Thank you, dude.
Appreciate it. Hey.